Yeah, there's definitely that sweet bond. I'm so blessed. I've got 4 children that I truly believe God saved, and their spouses. And I believe in Mama and a dad that the Lord's been pleased to take, and in-laws. And I'm so thankful to be here with you. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Brother Gene, thank you. That blessed my heart. You know, every believer wants to hear the glorious gospel of God's grace, and just tell me one more time. Just tell me one more time how the Lord has put away my guilt. Just tell me simply. Tell me truthfully. And give me some hope. John the Apostle, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, writes these words. John 2, 1 John 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now here's an apostle, one that was called by God, called personally by the Lord Jesus Christ, and taught the gospel personally. Now you think about that. The Lord personally taught John the gospel. The Lord sends pastors, and these pastors preach the words of the Lord Jesus. And John heard the gospel from the Lord, gave him faith to believe. And through this apostle, the Lord was pleased to call out some folks. And they're precious to Him. And He loves them. God's people love God's people. But there's something special about seeing the Lord manifest Himself to somebody. And you watch them. And you see God call them out of darkness and teach them. And your heart rejoices. And he says to them, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Now, John knew that we're sinners. He said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. But when He says, my little children, sin not. Now let me ask you something. Is there anything wrong with urging or encouraging a regenerated sinner to not sin? Anything wrong with that? He said, what I'm saying to you is I'm warning you. I'm gonna warn you about something. A very common, it's common to all of us, temptation to do something. We're sinners. Now this is what we are. And in this life, I'm going to tell you, in this flesh, we're never going to get above it. This is what we are. And we don't have a license to sin. I've heard people say, I heard somebody say these very words. Well, I'm just a sinner. I can't help it. And the Lord saved me by grace. And so it really doesn't matter. Yes, it does. My little children, we don't joy or rejoice in knowing that we sin. The Lord said He's going to forgive us. It's not the nature of a believer to rejoice in that. Job said, I loathe myself. When I consider this truth of sin being with me, there is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good sin. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's dishonoring. And it's painful. It is painful. Hold your place right there. Turn with me to John 21, the gospel according to John. Same writer. Remember when, after the Lord was risen from the dead, and He had appeared to His disciples. Thomas wasn't there the first time. Then Thomas was there the second time. And now here's in verse 21, John 21. John is speaking from experience when he says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." Now he's speaking from experience. After the Lord had met with His disciples twice, after He had risen from the dead. And now we find that Peter had voiced this thought. 21, John 21, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, two sons of Zebedee, and two other His disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And as I've said before, I may have said it here, he didn't mean I'm just going out for the afternoon. Here's what he said: I quit. I'm done. Now you think about this. I go, and I know that's what he meant. I looked up the word. Same word that the Lord asked him. He said, will you go away also? Peter said, where are we going to go? That Peter said, I go a fishing. I'm going back. I'm going back to what I was doing. And verse 3, and they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, I wonder how many times they'd heard Him call them that. How many times do you think that He had referred to them as children? Children, have you any meat? How's it going for you out there? They answered Him, no. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, he's talking about John, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. And we're out here in the boat. And he knows what was said. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him. He was naked, cast himself into the sea. Now listen, John was speaking from experience. He knew what he had done. And it wasn't that Peter had done it. John did it. Didn't blame Peter. Well, Peter said, no. John was the one that said, I go with you. I'm going with you, Peter. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. These things, I'm going to write something to you so that you can read it again. I'm so glad this is written down. And you've all got a copy of it. And we're just going to read it together. These things write so you can read it over and over again that you sin not. I'm talking to people that know and agree with the Apostle Paul. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin that's in my members. I know that I cannot not sin, but I need a word of comfort. Would you please tell me something that'll give me some hope? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if, and when, and though you see, you sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have right now, at this very moment, we have one to plead for us. We have an advocate. We have one who will stand and answer. We have one that will plead himself on our behalf. He who was made sin for us, his people. He who knew no sin. And here's the truth of it. He does not deny the charge. He doesn't say they didn't do it. Yeah? If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. My little children, when we sin, though we sin, if we sin, when it happens, we have. Now, right now, there is before the throne of God an advocate for the people of God, making intercession, ever living. He admits every accusation is true. But I'm going to tell you something. With every truthful acknowledgement of what we are and what we do and how we grieve when we do it, we have one to plead his own work on our behalf, to plead his life, my righteousness covers them. My blood was shed for them. And when the Father, who has said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. And I think that is so soothing and so comforting for me to hear that. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I realize He, as the advocate, saying, my people who have sinned, I, as their representative and their absolute substitute. When I think of that substitute, you know, if you watch a football game, someone, you know, gets hurt, and the coach takes him out. I'm going to put another one in there for you. You say, well, that's a substitute. Well, that may be a substitute, but that's not what this is. He is our substitute, was made us. He was made us. That's the substitute. He himself, I being made them, bore the guilt, bore the judgment, bore the wrath, bore the curse. I was made a curse for them, that they might not be cursed. And the advocate himself, who was made us, pleads his own merit. And he's heard of the Father. As the advocate pleads his merit on our behalf, that our sin not be imputed to us. Why? Because it was charged to him. I paid that debt. That debt's paid. And it's paid in full. And when he cried, it is finished. That guilt will never be charged to us. He paid. He paid. His blood answers every demand before God, and therefore the pardon of our sin and the peace of our conscience is assured. We're taught by the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Who is this? I'll tell you who he is. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. The righteous. Who is he? He is the Savior. He's the Messiah, the one who the Father appointed to be the advocate. He chose him. He chose and chose us in him. We need a priest. The Father has provided the priest. A priest is one who approaches God on the behalf of another. And I don't want to approach God in my own merit, because I don't have any. I've got just enough sense to know that I cannot stand before God and be accepted of him. God is just. God is holy. And he will in no wise clear the guilty. I need another. My little children, I'm writing to you about something. When we sin, we have an advocate. We have someone that the Father's going to hear. And the Father accepts, because he chose him. This is my faithful servant. My faithful servant's been qualified by the Father. A body was prepared for him. I need a man. A man sinned against God. I need a man, and the God-man mediator who God accepts has answered for me. He's been given the Spirit of God without measure. And he's qualified. I need somebody to talk to me that's qualified. I mean, I'm not talking about going before some man, mere man. I'm talking about somebody that's going to answer to God. This is the only character that God's going to receive. What's his character? He's righteous. He's holy. He's just. We have an advocate with the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Brother Gene, you were sitting here just preaching that, and you heard. And look, I've got this written down in my notes. I looked it up, what it meant. And even then, Bob, when he said propitiation, I've got it written down in my notes, and I thought to myself, tell me one more time what a propitiation is. I just want to hear it. We have an advocate with the Father, and he is the propitiation for our sins. This is what he said. I'm just going to repeat what you said. He's going to cover it. That's what he said. He is the one to atone. What does that mean? Hide me. Hide me. Hide my guilt. Lord, shield me. Shield me. Lord, cover over me. And Lord, restore the friendship that existed before this quarrel that I started took place. Lord, cover me. Would you make me to be at friendship with him again? He is the propitiation. Lord, satisfy him on my behalf. Lord, by your blood, that blood that was demanded without the shedding of blood, his blood, righteous blood, the blood of bulls and goats is never going to satisfy. That'll never put away sin. Lord, I have separated myself from God. My sin has separated me. And I know, Obi, that's right. I know that's right. Lord, I am a sinner. And to know that a sinner has an advocate, one to plead his cause, one that came and made himself, and he's the covering, covers it. This blood, put it away, cast it as far as the east is from the west, behind God's back. Where is that? I don't know, but that's where I want it to be. I want him. He's made peace. He's made peace with God. God's not mad. How do you know he's not mad? Because he said he's got a people that he's not mad. How do you know you're one of them? I believe him. I believe God. That's all I got, Paul. That's all I got. I believe God. It pleased the Father, Colossians 1:19, pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. The thing I love about this is it says that I was an enemy in my mind, not in his. But in my mind, I wanted to have nothing to do with him. But by the grace of God, Almighty God, who would not leave me to myself or any of his people, reconciled us. How did he do it? By the blood of his cross.
Amen.
Propitiation. I'm gonna cover them with my blood. And the Father's going to pass over. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that's some good news. And though I don't understand the fullness of it yet, I understand just enough. I see through a glass darkly. And this is to my shame. I wish I saw it as it really is. But one of these days, he said, I'm going to see him as he is, Tony, and be like him. I'm going to be like him. I don't even know what to say. But I can say this, Lord, as you said it is, it is. Like you just said, Christ came into this world not to make the Father love us. He came in here because the Father loved us. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now you know what I'm getting ready to say. Does that mean universal redemption? Does that mean that he's made salvation possible for everybody? Well, the scripture sets forth Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, in closing, I want to ask you something. Who are these us? Who are they? Well, I can tell you only from the scriptures who they are. Because when it comes to something like this, if you just got an opinion, well, your opinion is like my opinion. And it's not worth anything. If I can't back it up, I know something about who the us are, about whose sins concerning this whole world. I know that he says, John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, I know that. And who are these sheep? Well, it's Ephesians 1:14. Those who were chosen in him, the remnant of his heritage. Is everybody a sheep? Well, according to John 10:22-28, no, here's what the Lord said. And the Lord was speaking here. John 10, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's John 10:15. But then he said in John 10:22-28, it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now listen, here's a description of a sheep that the Lord has called out of darkness. Now there's sheep before he calls them out of darkness. Other sheep I have, they're not of this fold, and I must bring them. Now they're always sheep. But now you got two different kinds of sheep. You got regenerated sheep and sheep that hadn't been regenerated yet. But they're going to be. Because he said, all the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me.
Amen.
Now that's who they are. Who are the sheep? Well, it's the ones the Father's given him. But he said in verse 26, you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now here's the characteristic of a sheep that God's called out of darkness. My sheep hear my voice. Do you know how the Lord speaks? He speaks right here. He speaks through His scriptures, through His pastors and preachers. That's how He preaches. And the sheep hear His voice, and He knows them. And they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me. Who are these sheep? They're chosen sheep. He said, I chose the Lord. Yeah, because He chose you first. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. Who are these that the Scripture says He's a propitiation for ours, not for ours only, but also the whole world? I can tell you this, that whole world, they're Jews and Gentiles and bond and free and male and female. They're out of every nation and kindred. Not everyone without distinction, but they're all kinds. They're all over. Who are they? They're the ones that God's going to call. They're the ones that will surely come unto Him. Who are they? The ones that the Lord's laid down. I'll tell you who they are. They're the ones that the Lord prays for. John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those that Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. So the whole world here doesn't refer to every individual without distinction, but it's referring to everyone that Almighty God has everlastingly loved in Christ, to everyone for whom the Lord laid down His life, the ones that surely He prays for, the ones He's died for, and the ones that before they leave this earth, you write this down, they're going to believe this gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every one of them will.
Amen.
They'll hear His voice and they'll come to Him. Why? Because He knows them. 1 Peter 1:1-2. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And I can tell you this, Kingsport, Fairmont, Rocky Mount. Who are they? They're elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And what's going to be their end? These that we have an advocate for. What's going to be the end of those for whom He is the covering? I'm going to cover that. The Father will accept you because I'm going to hide you in Me. What's going to be their end? Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. What glory is that? The glory is being the advocate, the mediator, the Messiah, the federal head. That glory that Thou hast given Me. As God, what would be given God in His divinity? But as God, having humbled Himself, the Father gave Him something. He gave Him glory to be the advocate, to be the propitiation. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world as the advocate, as the surety, as the propitiation. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee. And these have known thee that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. And here's my last statement. And how shall all those for whom Christ died, for whom he's the advocate, the propitiation, how are they going to be known? How am I going to know? Tell me one more time before we leave this morning. Tell me one more time how I can know that he's my advocate. I know he's an advocate for somebody, but is he my advocate? I know he's died for somebody, but did he die for me? That's what I want to know. How can I know? Now you listen. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It does not mean he that believeth that there is a Jesus Christ. Demons believe that. But he that believeth, he that rests his eternal soul, he that rests all of his hope on Christ, not in my works, not even in my faith. I'm not looking to my faith. My faith didn't die for me. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son, that entrusts his eternal well-being. I'm just going to say like Peter did. When Peter got out of that boat, when he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me out. And he stepped out there, and when he saw the boisterous wind, he began to sink. And here's what he said. Lord, save me. If you don't save me, I'm going to die. If you don't save me, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. And he that believeth not the Son, what does that mean? He that does not entrust his eternal well-being to the Son of the living God, but he's looking to himself. He's looking to something he's done. He's looking for his decision. He said, to believe on the Son is to believe that, Lord, your life. And the only hope I got is to be found and accepted with you. And Lord, you said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, you said, and I'm coming the only way I know how. Lord, by the only means that I can come, Lord, I believe you've granted me faith. And in believing that you've granted me faith, I'm going to just say, like old John Newton said, Lord, I believe I'm coming. I believe I am. But if I have never come before, Lord, if my old foolish heart has deceived me, and I know that it's desperately wicked, and I know it's deceitful above all things, and I know if you don't do something for me, my heart's going to deceive me. But Lord, if I have never truly trusted you, Lord, would you save me? Lord, would you have mercy on this sinner? And Lord, would you plead my cause before God? Lord, would you cover my sins? Lord, would you help me for Christ's sake?